I'm Jackie from Cape Town in South Africa.
Andre from Brisbane.
I'm Ben Wale from Botswana.
Jim Panton from Edinburgh in Scotland.
I'm Lisa Bracknell from Christchurch, New Zealand.
Nick Kidinji from Nairobi, Kenya.
I'm Viggy from Tel Aviv in Israel.
I'm Andy from Vancouver, Canada.
This is Harish from Bangalore in India.
I'm Brigitte Seipestein from Vrucht, the Netherlands.
I'm Dougie Nisbet from Durham in the UK. And you're listening to Run with Coach Parry.
Welcome on to this edition of Run with Coach Parry. I'm Brad, and it's an absolute pleasure to be with you once again today. I hope you've had a fantastic week. We got some great feedback from last week's podcast with Jeffrey. If you haven't listened to it yet, Jeffrey's the Serious Racing Snake. Go back and listen to it. It was a fantastic chat that we had with Jeffrey and the coach. Coming up on today's podcast, another awesome chat. This time we catch up with another one of the members of the Coach Parry Training Club. If you want to find out more about it, by the way, you can head over to coachparry.com. I'll give you some more details in just a mo. But we catch up with Skalk Fisagie today, and it is with Coach Marcus van Niekerk. Lindsay is traveling the country, gallivanting at the moment. As we record this, I think he is in KwaZulu-Natal, if I recall correctly, for the Comrades Road Shows. He's going to be in Cape Town next week. If you are running Comrades and you want to make it to one of the road shows and have a chat to the coach, all you need to do is head over to the Comrades website. You can get the full schedule there. There aren't too many left. And the next of our Comrades Online Seminars is coming up at the end of Feb as we're recording this. So if you haven't checked those out yet, go to coachparry.com/online-seminar. That's where you can register for the next one of those. Also coming up on today's podcast, we're going to announce our next winner in the Biogen Journey competition. And if you are new to this podcast, welcome, first of all. But we've been running this contest along with Biogen over the last few months, where we've been helping James Hobbo Hobson train for the Ironman 70.3, which is happening in the middle of this year in Durban. And he's doing great stuff. He's back in the country. He had a bit of a break in New Zealand over the festive season. And I saw a post on his socials this morning that he cycled all the way to the top of Northcliffe Hill. So training going well for Hobbo. And we'll touch base with him soon as well. But we're going to announce the next winner and exactly how you can win yourself 3 months access to the Coach Parry Training Club, as well as a Biogen hamper a little bit later on in today's podcast. So make sure you stick around for that. The winner announcement is coming up. But without further ado, enough of me yakking and all the housekeeping. Let's get into our chat with Skalk. We've got running coach Marcus van Niekerk with us once again. Marcus, welcome back. Nice to touch base.
Hey, Brad. Thank you so much. Yeah, it's always good to be back.
And we've got one of the members of the Coach Parry online training community, Skalk Fisagie, joining us. Skalk, nice to catch up with you. We chat often in the forums, and it's quite nice for us to put a face to the name and hear your voice. How's it?
How's it, Brad? How's it, Marcus? And yeah, thanks for the invitation.
How's it, Skalk?
Skalk, we're going to be chatting. I know you've got some big questions and they're pertinent to you right now, but just I'm going to preface it. You at the moment are running, as we're recording this, you're running Johnson Crane this coming weekend, but we're not going to be publishing it this week. So it's almost like a bit of back to the future. I've got my time travel shoes on and that's how we're doing it. So I know you might be asking a couple of questions that might be related to this weekend, but we'll chat to that as it is. But it obviously all of the stuff we talk about relates to wherever you are right now. Before we get into your questions for Marcus, how long have you been running? How did you get into the sport?
So basically running almost my entire life, except a bit of a break in high school and in primary school, where rugby and cricket took preference. But I started running actively again about 4 years ago.
Okay.
About 5 years ago, after December holiday. Typical New Year's resolution. I was about 10 to 15 Ks overweight and started training again, entered for the Two Oceans and it was all downhill from there.
Are you one of those guys that our international listeners think are crazy that you decided to start running because you wanted to run Comrades?
Basically. My dad was a Comrades runner for a couple of years. He did 7 and so it was always a dream. I didn't think of Comrades immediately that year, but Two Oceans was a very good start.
Yeah, Skalk, you've got some pressure on you. I mean, it's for us who have had parents that ran. At least my dad was okay, but he wasn't as gifted as yours. Apparently, you've got some serious pressure on your shoulders.
Yeah, I know. I think my dad's best Comrades is a very big dream and a very big hurdle. He managed to run a 7:48 1 year, which is crazy. He's got some big shoes to fill.
Yeah, it could be worse. Let's look on the bright side. You could be Lindsay Perry, whose dad's got a 5:48 Comrades PB. So no pressure there.
Yeah, it's still a lot of pressure.
Absolutely. And it's, you know, I always, when I hear stories like this of people in the same family doing things, it makes me think of the wars, the Stephen and Mark War, the cricketers, where somebody, I can't remember who it was, but he came into bat and they said to Mark War, I can't believe they think you're one of the Aussies were chirping whoever it was coming into bat. It was one of the Pakistanis, I think, and he said, I can't believe they think you're one of the best batsmen in your country. And he turned around and he said, well, at least I'm the best batsman in my family. So that's pretty much sums it up. But obviously that decision was made and you started and built up slowly, and as they say, the rest is history. How did that first sort of two oceans go?
No, it was a mission. I ran my first marathon and I barely qualified, and then my first two oceans was, I think I finished with 8 minutes to spare. Six hours 52. It was tough. It was the year that the veld fires raged over the mountains in Cape Town, and we ran Okaapse Weg. And it was me and two mates, and we were cruising up on the backside of Okaapse Weg, and that's where the wheels came off. After we got down that hill, it was basically walk run all the way to the finish for the rest of the day.
It has got better. You've improved a hell of a lot since then.
Yes, yeah. The year after that, I did my first Comrades, which turned out really. It was amazing for me. I did 11 and a half hours with two of my friends, and then the year after that I increased a little bit more with one of the same friends again, and last year I ran my best one so far all on my own, and that was 9:46.
So some big improvements, which is pretty. What do you attribute those improvements to, Skulk? Is it just a case of experience and consistent training?
I think it's experience and a little bit more training. I wouldn't say better training, but basically more training and being a little bit more committed, getting a little bit lighter, eating better, eating. I felt that what you put in your mouth has got a very, very big influence to what your body does at the end of the day. So everything, I think, turns points to experience, basically experience that improved.
I see Marcus nodding as you said that what you put in your mouth. Marcus, that resonates with you. You can't out-train a bad diet.
Nope. And as the years tick over, it certainly is the case. So in the younger, late 20s, early 30s, you could definitely manipulate that philosophy. But the older I get, the more evident it is. Skulk, you're right on the money there.
Skulk, you've got some big goals too. Obviously, I mean, I don't know what's driving it, but you want to improve and you want to get better. And I hear you making noises about Bill Rowan and sub-9 Comrades, but obviously there's certain things that have to happen before that happens. And one of them, and it's not written down that you have to do it, but your chances are better if you're running a sub-3:30 marathon. You've got a question around that for Marcus.
Yeah, so last year was the dream. I was already to run a Bill Rowan, and I tried to put in as much training as I could to get close to it, and I managed to do the 3:46 marathon, which I felt certainly put me in with a chance. But then I got to the expo at Comrades, and I was looking for a pacing band, and every single pacing band that I picked up, all of them said to basically, to put you on the money for this, you need to do a 3:30 marathon. And that kind of sunk in there. And I tried my best, but I came a little bit short. So I've kind of started believing in this 3:30 benchmark. And that's why I've started with a 3:30 training plan. But now I've fallen a little bit behind, and I think I've missed some serious training weeks in the last couple of weeks leading up to the Johnson's Crane, which was the goal. So the question, I think, essentially is, how critical is that 3:30 marathon? And if I miss it by 15 or odd minutes, is it cut and dry? I know there's a long year ahead that I can try it again, but should I focus on that, 3:30 marathon, or should I turn my focus to comrades training and train for Rowan?
Skulker definitely, it definitely does play a major role. So from a confidence point of view, yes, it does play a role, because if Lindsay says you times it by 2.5, then it's the truth. No, I'm just kidding. But look, just to basically give you some background on myself, last year, okay, before I give you background on myself, what was your weekly, not your weekly, what was your mileage between, let's say, Jan and comrades last year?
So from Jan to comrades last year was about 900 kilometers.
Okay. So it's pretty similar. I did 950, and my qualifier was a 3:32. I had to do a mountain bike race in March, and my partner was paranoid that I wouldn't be able to do that. So I had to focus on cycling up until the 1st of April, and that's when my comrades training started. So I did 950 kilometers up until the day of comrades, and my qualifier was the last race. It was the Wally Hayward up in Centurion, and I did a 3:32. Or 3:33, and I happened to run a 8:46 comrades. So it definitely, look, I really do support Lindsay's philosophy of you times it by 2.5 and you get to that figure. What I would like to find out from you is the 2 weeks that you missed, what were the quality sessions in those weeks, and was it just flu, or was it something that really, you know, it took more than just 2 weeks off training out of you?
So the 2 weeks was basically a little bit of holiday where I did the two runs in Central Park. And it was basically a two quick 8 to 10K runs. So nothing quality about, I just went out and I went running, and, but then the week after that was where I felt it was critical. So there was one, 3.5 hour long run that I missed.
Okay.
And a couple of interval sessions.
Okay.
Yeah, I think if I look back, that's the ones that I missed.
Okay, so look, this might not be the answer that you're thinking, but my suggestion for you would be to go do Sunday's run. Firstly, are you back on track now? So you've been doing the sessions since you've come back from that 2 week break. Okay, so
but the sessions that I've started back on again was one 1.5 hour run. Let me just check on the program quickly. I think it was one and a half hour run. And then a recovery run, and I'm supposed to do an interval session this afternoon. And then a taper run, half an hour later.
Cool.
And so I've basically caught the back end of the program.
I had, like me, I'm built to taper, Skulk, so it's all good.
My suggestion for you would be is to go out this weekend and to definitely start conservatively. Not that I'd ever suggest otherwise. Is to start conservatively and to not have too much of an expectation for the result. So do the first 21Ks and see how you feel after that. If you feel good, then try and, if you are on the right pacing, I'll calculate for you what you need to be running at now, but if you are pace wise, if you're hitting the numbers, let me just calculate this for you. So we're going for 3:30. Let's do a 3:29 just to be safe. Okay, so we need to, you need to average just below 5 minutes a K for that. Okay. So I'd suggest if you want to start out at just over 5 minutes a K, and so then gradually build it close to 5 minutes per K, or just under 5 minutes a K to the first 21 kilometers, and then reassessing. Obviously, nutrition is vital. If you don't get that right, your chances are even more slim than, you know, not to achieve your goal. But then is to make a call. So if you're totally off target, I'd say back off entirely so that you can train properly from Monday or Tuesday, whatever the rest period is in for or suggested after the Johnson Crane. If you do stand a chance, I'd suggest re-knuckle down, focus on what you need to do in that moment. So set yourself little goals within the run. So from 21 to 28, What are you going to do there? From 28 to 35, how are you going to do that? So like I said, your suggested pacing should be around 457 to come in at 329. For me, it's all about being in the moment. I always suggest that to my athletes, because if you focus on small, if you set yourself small achievable goals within a race, then before you know it, you have 5 to 6, you know, or 5 to 6 kilometers left. It's very, very important for me. But when you do get to 21Ks and you feel, listen, this is not going to happen, then rather run the race for, you know, as a long run. And, you know, we can try again later on. But it's important not to try and achieve something if it's totally without, well, not in your grasp on the day.
Okay.
Let me ask this question, Marcus, and I think just it's what Skulk's asking, but in a more general sort of term. If you have missed, particularly towards, and let's talk a 12-week block, because I'm just sort of doing the maths in my head, Skulk, I'm guessing you missed around sort of like week 9 to week 11, around that sort of thing, where it was a really, that's the important, really important bit in the training program. Marcus, as a rule of thumb, what do you like? How do you make that decision that you're still going to go for that goal, or is it? Do you still need, like, do you have to back yourself, or do you at some point go, you know what, maybe this isn't right now, and you're going to save yourself and maybe start building up for the next one?
Brad, for me, it does come down to the race again, but even more importantly, what I like, there's two components to training and racing. So when you get to a race, there's a big difference between being fit and tired and being fit and fresh. So the fact that you weren't sick for 2 weeks, Skulk, and you were touring, and I can look, when I go overseas, it's a matter of I walk quite a bit. Yeah. So it's not like you sat on the couch busy drowning yourself in Carenza season drinking medicine because you were sick. So for me, obviously it wasn't great not getting to those long runs, but it will definitely also have some benefit. There'll be some benefits to the fact that you freshened up. You know, let's call it that for now. Once again, it all comes down to the actual race. The fact that you've done a 90-minute run afterwards and a recovery run and all of those things, how did you feel during that 90-minute run?
Before the 90-minute run, I did a slow 5 and then about a 10K before, just after I was sick. And I could feel it almost felt as if I'm starting from scratch again. Okay. So the 90-minute run went a lot better, and the recovery run was also a lot better. So I'm starting to feel fit and healthy again. So from the 90-minute run, I felt better.
Okay, 100%. 100%. Once again, Brad and Skulk, for me, it comes down to how you're going to feel on the day. I don't think you lose anything more than 5 to 7% of your fitness if you were totally inactive for 10 to 14 days. So what was your longest run you did, before you missed the 2 weeks?
I did a 33 and a 30. I did 2 or 3 30K runs.
For me, that's more than sufficient. Look, going into the race, it would have been perfect if you had done that 3.5-hour run. You would have been slightly more confident. But I can guarantee you, if you've been following that program right up until week 9, you might be in better shape than what you think you are.
Okay. Yeah, look, I missed out on a session here or there, but I think I covered 90% of it. I'm also bargaining on the race factor and the people around you to kind of pull you around and take your thoughts away from the pain and the tiredness. So,
No, definitely. I mean, that to me, I'm a big fan of feeding off the crowds. And look, I'm not a big fan of running in buses, but they are there and they do help with pacing. And sometimes they just know how to pace much better than what we do. Just make sure your nutrition is dialed in. And also don't start too fast. If you start too fast, I can guarantee you're gonna eliminate the chances of getting to your goal.
Okay. Look, the other option is to postpone it by 4 weeks and to run Deloitte, because I'm entered for Deloitte as well towards the end of February.
Look, it's an option. The route profile is way more hectic on Deloitte. Obviously, you go over Klapperkop twice. Yeah. look, I'm still going to stick with my initial suggestion. Do the first 21Ks at your desired race pace. Yeah. And if you do get to 21Ks and you feel good, then I'd say give it a go. Okay. Don't overcook it when you get to 21 and feeling confident and still within, or when you're still possible of getting close to that 3:30. Yeah. But if it's not, then one, you had a good long run with a 21K or slightly faster than 21K race pace. Yeah. Sorry, slightly faster than 42 kilometer race pace, which I also think is necessary to do during long runs. And yeah. You're still going to get something out of the run, without a doubt. Yeah. But if you do start the race and you know it's not going to be your day, then you can back up before 21Ks even.
Yeah.
Then just do that run. And then come the 24th of Feb, then it's, I've just given you that split. Then obviously you know what needs to be done on the day. You know what your split needs to be. Yeah. And then you have your second go. But I'd definitely give it a go if I were you. Especially the fact that if you can convince yourself mentally that not all the pressure is on Sunday's run, because you do have a plan B or you do have another alternative. I always find I do much better in the races where I don't expect a result, as opposed to the races where I go in and come out of high water, I'm going to run a specific time or I need to beat a specific person. It's really not the case. 9 times out of 10, when I don't expect a result, I get a brilliant one.
Okay.
Yeah, it's amazing how that works when all bets are off. Skulk, you had another question as well, which it's one of my favorite questions, because you've been around what we do at Coach Parry for a while now, and you've seen the training programs and you've asked some great questions in the forums. And one of the things that pops up time and time and time again is the training paces. And how can you be running a certain pace in training and expect to race faster? Surely you should be running, race pace in training to get yourself used to running at that sort of pace. I'm guessing that's the gist of your question. Have I summed it up correctly?
Yeah, perfectly.
Marcus, this is the million-dollar question, and it's a bit counterintuitive, and I know you love this too, because it's weird how it works, but it works.
No, for sure. It's super strange. So I always use the example of my comrades prep for 2017. I started, I was proper overweight. I had one of those Decembers that you mentioned earlier, but I started running, and I based all my runs on heart rate. So I worked off the math method, which is 180 minus your age. So my average heart rate during and after a run needed to be approximately 148 beats a minute. So look, my first runs were about 525 per K at about 150 beats per minute, but it really got boring running that slow. And luckily I run for quite a few years and I know my body. I don't necessarily need to go slower than that. So I just kept on doing it, and I kept consistently focusing on the intensity that I was running at. And by the time Lindsay and myself, I'll never forget it, we did a run here in Lynnwood, and we comfortably ran at about 440 to 444 per kilometer, and my heart rate was then at about 144 beats per minute. Yeah. So my heart rate had dropped by 6 beats a minute, and the pace was down by 40 seconds. So for me, that's vital. But just to go back to your question, Skulk, that's why we do things like heel training. That's why we do things like intervals. So make sure that your easy runs are supposed to be easy, and that's why when we do speed work, it's way faster than we would be running on race day, especially over long distances, but it's what we call overreaching. So so let's say, for argument's sake, you run a 5K time trial, and your 1K split is 4 minutes a K, we'll probably make you do 1K repeats at about 4:45, more or less. Oh, sorry, 3:45, so that you run faster than what you did on an average per kilometer pace than you did in the time trial, but you do get rest intervals in between. And that's how you build in speed. But trust me, by doing consistent, easy runs, you're going to do yourself the world of favor by just developing and increasing the size of your engine.
Yeah. I think now that you mention it and to think back on what Lindsay and Brad discussed on the online seminar on Monday night, I can definitely see that what you've explained now is also happening to me, where I'm running at faster paces with lower heart rate. So following the plan is in that sense is definitely working. But also I think I'm making the mistake of running my easy runs, not the, so much the easy runs, but the recovery runs, way too fast, just out of habit. Where running slower is really, it gets hard because running faster is so easy.
That's it. And so many people make that mistakes. And I mean, that's just on easy runs, never mind recovery runs. I wish you could see people like, look, whether it's his recovery run for certain, I wouldn't know, but someone like Stephen Mukoko, who, I mean, he comfortably runs a 102.21 kilometer, and he trains at Tux. And when those guys do an easy jog, it looks like they're taking a walk. I'm not over-exaggerating. Their easy running pace or their recovery running pace is so slow. And I know of a world-class triathlete as well. His easy runs are really slow, but when he runs a 10K, he gets pretty close to sub 30 minutes. So it really, there is method to the madness.
Yeah, Skulk, okay. If I can just add 2 cents, and I said this in the Comrade seminar as well, is it's counterintuitive, and especially growing up like you and I did with a parent that ran Comrades, because back in the day, that's how you did it. If you wanted to run fast in training, you needed to run fast, and you went and smashed every single training session. And it's very much I don't want to say an old school way of doing things, but it's been ingrained in us that if you want to run fast, it makes sense, run fast. But that's not actually the case, particularly the way, if you've heard Lindsay explain it with regards to the aerobic versus anaerobic and how long you can go for when you're in that anaerobic state, as opposed to we've got to go for long if we're running marathons and Comrades. So we've got to build that base, that big engine, as Marcus says. And the only way to do that is to run slowly and build that engine and bring that heart rate down so that when you do run long, you can run at that pace for longer. Marcus, is that pretty much correct in my state? I mean, I'm not a sports scientist and you the expert, but that's my lay experience of what you guys sort of preach about.
You're on the money there, Brad. I couldn't agree with you more.
I've spent enough time with Lindsay. I'm learning through osmosis, which is amazing. Skulk, have you got any other questions, or you pretty much sorted and rearing to go now on Sunday?
Yeah, I think the last one is after Sunday. Is it personal preference if I switch over then to the Build Home program on the online platform, or should I check in with you guys just to discuss the results and then either go for Deloitte, or what would you suggest?
Yeah, firstly, I think you're on the platform already, Skulk. So that's what to me that's the wonderful part of it. So after Sunday, pop onto the forum, give us some feedback. If you did achieve your goal, wonderful. Then I would suggest getting onto the Bull Run program. And one can always play around with the paces on the program. We just had a call earlier with someone that you know, it just because the projected, according to, you know, the calculations, means you need to run within a specific pace zone, doesn't mean you need to be 100% in the first to the middle part of that zone. It can always be to the lower end of the zone as well. Once again, coming back to, you need to train in the right zones. You're more than welcome to pop onto the forum, just give us some feedback. Hopefully it's some good news. And if it's not good news, it's not the end of the world either.
No, that's not. No, yes, yeah, thanks a lot. Yeah, with the pacing on the plans, I think I do the proper male manly ego thing, and you look, see the sorry, lost you guys there. You see the spread, and you look at the first number, and that's what you aim for. And
yeah, it's not a target; it's a guide. Just so you know.
I think I do the proper manly thing, and I take it as a target, which it shouldn't be.
I love that. Yeah, Skulk, I mean, it's easy. It's easy to fall into that trap, but those things are there as a guide. You don't have to be hitting those numbers the top end of those numbers every session to get the most benefit. If you go back and listen, it was a call that we did with Jeffrey where Marcus actually dug into a lot more detail. And if you're interested in this, listening to it, go back and listen to that as well. I'll pop a link to it. Definitely worth a listen. And we're going into a bit more detail with how to target within those bands. So that'll definitely help you as well. Skulk, we love having you in the community. You ask such great questions. And like I said, you challenge the coaches and make them put their thinking hats on, which is cool. Your experience, I know you and I have been back and forth via email with regards. You've pretty much been around from the start since we relaunched. Your experience on that platform?
I really enjoy it. This year is the first that I'm running with a program. The last 5 years of running was me running when I get a chance and seeing how far I go or how far I wanted to go for that day. So for me, it's first of running on a program, and the way that the platform works where I can adjust the runs to fit into my schedule, works perfect for me. And it's probably the best thing that I could have done for my running.
I love that. Skullcat's awesome. Yeah. We appreciate you. We love catching up in the forums. Best of luck on Sunday.
Thank you.
Fingers crossed. And yeah, I think you might surprise yourself. We're looking forward. Make sure you check in on Monday. We keen to hear, and hopefully it's in the success forum and you tell us you've smashed that 3:30.
Okay. No, definitely. I'll let you guys know what happens.
There you have it. What a great chat with Skulk and Marcus. Thank you very much, gents. Do appreciate your time. Skulk, I hope you got lots out of it, and I hope you got lots out of it listening to that podcast. Don't forget, we're going to have another one for you next week, another one of our fly-on-the-wall sort of coaching sessions with a member of the Coach Parry Training Club. And speaking of which, and I haven't forgotten about the winner, by the way. That's coming up in just a moment. But speaking of members of our training club, we had another great post in the Success Forum on our iOS and Android app this week, and it was from Lisa Krumninkle. And Lisa's saying, so excited to share my success story. I started the program 12 weeks ago. She's been training for a sub 145.21, by the way. She says, I started the program 12 weeks ago, slacked over the silly season, and continued training in January. I only had to shave 2 to 3 minutes to achieve the target. And I attribute this to the following factors. It really helps following a training plan, although it's sometimes difficult to stick to it. It guides and builds confidence. Being positive at the start, maybe today is the day, maybe it's not. Being positive at the start and not being agitated is the best way to start. I think that's great advice for race day, Lisa. And she said, also asking for help. I asked a club member to pace me because it gave me confidence, and I prefer social runs. And then number four, have fun. I finished the run in 144.03 comfortably and felt like I could continue running. Can't wait to start with my next program. Thank you, coaches. Well, Lisa, thank you. You did the hard work. The proof is in the pudding. So congratulations, sub 145.21, another PB in the bag for the Coach Parry Training Club. If you want to join us, all you need to do is head over to coachparry.com/join. We've been talking about it for the last few months, and we're giving you, for a very limited opportunity, the chance to get in on us, okay? We'll be running a free trial, 7 days. You can try it out, kick the tires, see if it's for you. If it's not, that's cool. If it is, then you've basically seen what we do, and you can access it further. So if you want to join, it's not going to be like that for a long time. I'm just doing it for a limited period of time right now. coachparry.com/join. Go and join us, get 7 days on us, and see what it's all about, what the buzz is about, and what the hype's about. There's over 60, almost 70 training programs in there now. You get access to Lindsay, Marcus, and the rest of our coaches on a daily basis in the forums, and also our sports nutritionist Nikki de Villiers is in there, our strength and conditioning coach Shona Hendricks is in there. We've got so much. Just go and check it out, okay? coachparry.com/join. Right, winner time here on the, almost like hammer time, here on the podcast. And we've asked you to tell us what you're training for and what you need help with here on the podcast. And just share it on social media. Use the hashtag Biogen Journey. That's hashtag Biogen Journey, and add hashtag Coach Parry while you're at it. And we could pick you as a winner. And today's winner is from Bakulutsi Business Services. That's the name of the Instagram handle, but there is a first name, Mpo. Congratulations to you. You are a winner, sir. And Mpo says he's training for a 3:30 marathon, and he used the hashtag Biden Journey, hashtag Coach Parry. Mpo, you are a winner. I'll reach out via Instagram. We'll get you on to the Coach Parry Training Club. And let's get you to that sub 3:30 goal. 3 months on us, plus Biogen will send you a hamper as well. It's that easy to win with us here at Coach Parry. Make sure you go and check out all the details, okay? And that's enough of me yakking. I'm back again in a week. If you haven't checked out our videos on social, make sure you check out our YouTube channel. You can go to coachparry.com/YouTube. It'll take you there. Or you can head over to our Facebook profile as well. Just head over to coachparry.com/Facebook. It'll take you straight there too. We release videos a few times a week, some great training tips, so definitely don't miss any of those. And be sure to check out the Comrades Marathon Online Success Seminar that's coming up at the end of this month. If you haven't registered for it yet, coachparry.com/online-seminar. That's where you can get all the details. Until next time, from myself, Brad, it's cheers.